We are on Hebrews 4 today. We have covered the first three chapters. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about what we've covered in the past, but I will say just a couple of quick things. Hebrews is an epistle in the New Testament written by an author that has not quite been identified. We think it's probably Paul, but there's some debate on that. And Hebrews is a story about who Jesus, the Son of God, is, told almost from the perspective of God the Father. And so it's got several different takes on how it starts and what's in the middle and how it ends. And so it's a very unique book in the New Testament. It is definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It lines up with everything else in Scripture. And it is a wonderful book to study. So we are going to be in chapter 4 today. Those songs that we heard had a common theme. Anybody know what that common theme was?
Rest.
Rest. Guess what Hebrews 4 talks a lot about? Rest. So that is one of those areas that I think about quite a bit, actually. I have a full-time, very demanding professional job outside of my ministry. I travel a lot. I have a lot of demands placed on me during the day. I go to school. I'm in the middle of a very deep, deep subject of apologetics. And I pastor a church. And what you see here on Sundays is only a small part of what's involved in that ministry. And so when I think of rest, I think I don't get enough. What do you think? I think that often people go, 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 and they forget how important rest is. And so I started reading Hebrews 4 Monday of last week is when I usually start preparing for the next lesson. And I'm reading this, and when I'm involved in ministry, when I'm doing the things I feel that God's called me into, when I know that I have Christ working with me side by side, I don't get tired. I really don't. But when I'm not doing the things that God has called me to do, when I'm pursuing my career, when I'm focused on things that are not ministry related, and by the way, we shouldn't compartmentalize ministry. It's part of life. It's something you do every day in every situation. But sometimes we do. We separate those things for various reasons. And when we separate those things, it becomes very tiring. You get worn out. You get exhausted. I do. But when I step back in to doing God's will in His ministry, it's totally different again. I feel revived. I feel energetic. Cindy and I had an opportunity to go meet some friends that we haven't seen in a long time in Arlington on Friday night. It was supposed to be a casual dinner, 6 o'clock. I would have never guessed I was about to get into a 3-hour-long theological discussion with somebody. We got home at 1 a.m. Friday night. The whole time, and I think I talked about this last week, that or before Easter, that when you're doing ministry, it's like time stands still. You know, I said that we were always challenged with, okay, I don't have time to do this. God's called me into it, but I really don't have time. I'm going to ignore what God wants me to do right now. But when we actually step into it, it's like time stands still. Cindy, did you realize what time it was when we ended?
Yeah,
until about 11:15. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So, and this happens often when we're involved in ministry. Okay, let's before we get into Hebrews 4, I want to take us back to the last two verses of Hebrews 3. Would somebody mind reading Hebrews 3, 18 through 19? Yes, sir. Yeah, you guys, somebody need Bibles? Anybody? Y'all good? Okay, we've got Bibles if anybody needs them. But thanks, Roy, for pointing that out. Would somebody like to read 18 and 19? Go ahead.
And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter.
Thank you very much. Hebrews is talking about, in this particular passage, we're talking about Israel. Okay, Israel is God's chosen people in the Old Testament. They still are his chosen people. But in the Old Testament, he used Israel to bring himself to the world, to make the world know who he is. And all of the Bible, by the way, is meant to point us to Christ. And the writer of Hebrews here is talking about Israel. And if you know the story of Israel, Moses comes and called by God to free Israel from slavery. They were oppressed. They were being they were slaves to the Egyptian Pharaoh. And Moses, this man that was hiding, he was in exile, meets God in this vision of a burning bush. And God calls him to go free Israel from the Pharaoh, okay? Moses is already a wanted man, by the way, by Pharaoh. 40 years go, I'm sure things have taken place. It's no longer an issue. Moses goes in, addresses Pharaoh, and brings all these plagues upon Israel because Pharaoh has a hardened heart and he's not going to let Israel go. And then eventually Pharaoh's had enough. Moses leads Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh tries to pursue them. He sends his army after them. And as they cross the Red Sea that God had parted, the sea comes back together and the army is destroyed. That's a pretty mighty rescue effort. And it's pretty divine. So through that period, Moses leads Israel out, miracle after miracle. God provides food for them in the desert out of nowhere. Manna comes from the sky, water from rock. And this people, Israel, complain the entire time. They complain. All right? Now, what Hebrews is saying here is that they were not able to enter God's rest because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. I took that and I looked at it very deeply this week. And I'm like, okay, are we talking about physical rest? Are we talking about the ability to rest at a later date and time? What are we talking about? What I've come to learn, and what I was saying a little while ago, is that when it says for the unbeliever, okay, for the unbeliever, if you don't believe in Christ, your soul is weary. It's going to be run down. It's going to be tired. It's going to be exhausted. But for the believer who has a hope and a faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's this energy and this power and this supernatural thing that just continues to move you forward, and you feel peace. No matter what trials come your way, there is peace in knowing Christ. That's part of the rest I think we're talking about here. Many people have read this verse in Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's very similar to this message in Hebrews, that through Christ we can receive this rest. Does it mean you don't continue to work? Does it mean you don't continue to face trials? Absolutely not. But there's this peace. There's this rest for your soul as you go through life. I can testify about that over and over again. Amen, amen, brother. Let's look at Hebrews 4 now. Would somebody like to read 4, verse 1? And this is a continuation, obviously, from chapter 3. Thank you.
"Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it."
Thank you very much. Okay, what does he mean, this rest still stands?
That is still available if you're willing to come to him.
Still available, right? He's not talking about this one point in time where Israel, by the way, crosses into the promised land. They thought that was rest for them. They had no idea that the promised land was just another area where they're going to face many trials. But the promised land in their mind was this place where God was going to send his Messiah to rule forever. And they were mistaken. They didn't understand the prophets. the writer is giving us warnings all throughout his writing of Hebrews. He says, be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. God gave Israel so many opportunities to pursue him, to listen to him, to obey him, to follow him. And there was this continuous rebellion just over and over and over and over again. If any of you have small children, you probably get some sort of sense of what that's like, right? Don't get in the cookie jar, don't get in the cookie jar, don't get in the cookie jar. All day, right? This is Israel, okay? This is what's going on. And God is so patient. He wants so badly for them to cross the finish line and enter into his rest. But so many just continue to disbelieve God altogether. I mean, how many of you need manna falling out of the sky to recognize who God is? And yet this people had every need taken care of. Even in their rebellion, God continued to bless them and provide for them. God made this promise of rest long ago. In Genesis 2, and I'll read this, verses 2 through 3. After God had created everything, he spoke it into existence. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating what he had done. Okay, God declared the seventh day, and seven in the Bible is a number of perfection, by the way. He declared it a holy day, a day of rest. So many of us are thinking, well, did God really need rest? I mean, was it a lot of work to speak something into nothing? Or speak, you know, something into existence that didn't exist? What I've learned about the word used here, by the way, is it ceased. It means he ceased working. He ceased doing his part. Seven means complete. It was complete on the seventh day. There was nothing left to do. So the work of creating has been completed. But God declared it a holy day. He was celebrating because what he created, he said, was good. And it's a time to honor and reflect and worship God. That's why we have service on Sundays. Let's move on to Hebrews 4:2. Do I have a reader? Somebody want to read 4:2? Anybody?
Okay.
All right.
For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed.
Thank you so much. Here we have this word, obeyed, again. Obeyed. Okay, Israel had been given a set of laws. They had been told what's permissible, what's sinful in the eyes of God. And I think they weighed a little bit more on the sinful things instead of on the things that were permissible. None of us do that, right? Right? It's a good thing we're not keeping track of those things, right? According to this, it's saying this other word again. It's a warning. Don't be like them. I think Abby wants that. Don't be like them. Don't walk in unbelief, because if you continue in unbelief, you will not enter this rest that he's talking about. He's saying, you've been shown, you've been warned, God has given you every indication of who he is. He sent his son to show you who he was. You have a choice to make, and it's a big choice. And that choice is to follow Christ and enter in his rest, or to continue in your rebellion and unbelief. One way leads to peace, the other way leads to destruction. You can't sit on the fence on this thing. You've got to make a choice, one side or the other. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're fighting on a daily basis, maybe it's time to step over the fence and be on the right side. And that's what Hebrews is trying to tell you here, that this rest is for whoever is ready to climb over the fence and take a stand for Christ. If you're on the other side, you're going to be going through turmoil the rest of your life for eternity. So it's a warning. Too often we take our lives too not serious enough, I think. We're like, well, someday I'll think about this more. Someday I'll decide to do that. Well, you don't know how your days are numbered. Only God does. It's something you cannot take lightly. What I have come to learn is that walking away from God or ignoring God or putting God aside until I've had my fun here on earth leads you down a dead-end street. You're going to go nowhere with that. You're going to have fun for a little while, but then what? This life that Christ gives us, we look at his laws and think it's oppressive. God does not want me to have a good time here on earth. He's just knocking me down. If you really come to understand and know what his laws are about, you learn they're to protect you out of his love for you. Because there's another world that we face, another spiritual world that is very demonic and it's out to destroy anything that's good. And God's trying to protect you from that. Let's take a look at Hebrews 4:3. I have another reader.
Now we who have believed into this rest, just as God has said. So I take on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished world.
Thank you, Roy. God declared an oath in his anger, they shall never enter my rest. How'd you like God to say that to you? That'd be a hopeless life, would it not? Without Christ, that's where we are. So what's he do? He allows an entire generation to wander around in the desert. I have a feeling that the promised land was probably a few miles away from where they were, but they continued to go in circles and miss it. God gave them every sign he could give them, and they continued to miss it. It reminds me of today and the atheist arguments. I've shared some of those with these two this week, Justice and Ash and Dan back there. I had to listen to a video of an atheist debating with a Christian theologian. And I heard the atheist's story and his debate, his argument. And all I could think of is what a lost soul. He's coming up with every reason to deny God he can think of. And he tried to claim it was evidence. And when I listened to it, I'm like, that is not evidence. That is a hypothesis. Where the theologian had strong evidence, a strong case, for not only does God exist, but God is Jesus Christ. And I listen to that, and I'm thinking, man, this Israel, for 40 years, they missed every sign God gave them. They just continued to rebel against him. They wanted to do their own thing. It was all about me, 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 me. Forget you. And I'll tell you right now that that is a difficult life to live. How many of you have gone sleepless nights before? I have many times. You know how that feels in the morning when you have to go to work? Man, what a drag that is. It's a beating, is it not? Imagine doing that every day for 40 years. That's what Israel was basically doing. And God's saying, here I am. Here I am. 40 years. Imagine telling your kid to get out of the cookie jar for 40 years. This verse, by the way, is a reference to Psalm 95. And I'm going to read this to move us along. It says, this is verses 7 through 11. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This was an entire generation of Israel, by the way. God said, I'm going to punish this generation until they obey me. And that's the thing about God. God always gives you a chance to turn around. He gives you a chance to repent. When he makes a deal with people, he says, I will do this if you will do that. And what he's always telling you is that if you repent and come to me, you will find the blessings that I promised you. And Israel just kept ignoring that. So an entire generation goes without rest for 40 years, wandering around in the desert, hopeless, completely hopeless. And they're grumbling at Moses like it's his fault. And Moses was the only one that kept going to bat for them and going to God and saying, forgive them, God. And God would, and he'd give them another chance. And they continued to do the same things over and over, and they would get mad at Moses again. Poor Moses. You see, sinful rest comes from obedience. If you want to rest from sin, if you want to rest your souls, it comes from obedience to God. When we're fighting these sins over and over again, when we're fighting habitual issues, when we're fighting tiredness, it's usually because we're ignoring God, we're being disobedient to God, we're rebelling against God, and you're stepping out of the blessing he has for you. Somebody got in the cookie jar. Poor kid. So it is so important that we have to take God's word and take who God is seriously if we want to enter this rest. All of the things that God gave to Israel in terms of laws, in terms of commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. There's only 10 things he said, thou shalt not, by the way. And there's a million of things that you shall do. But we always look at those 10, and those are the ones we have to break. We don't want to do what we're supposed to. We have to go after those things and break those. We thumb our nose at God. We rebel against God. We don't put God first in our life. When somebody asks if you're a Christian, do you say, absolutely, would you like to know about Christ? Or say, let's not talk about religion. That always brings arguments. Wherever you are, if you want this rest that God keeps promising and keeps telling us about, it's available to you today, like the writer of Hebrews said. That rest is available today. Now, let's take a look at Hebrews 4, verses 4 through 5 next. Would somebody like to read that? Okay.
For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest.
What's so interesting to me about this is he declared a holy day on the seventh day. So you would think a holy day is for what? A holy people, right? And if you look at what we've said up to this point, it's those that are unbelievers, those who have not been obedient to God, do not enter this rest. And so it's only holy people who get to enter this rest. Are any of us holy? No? Are we rebellious like Israel?
Absolutely. Almost on a daily basis.
Well, Romans 3:22 says this, that righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Righteousness. You see, works will never get you there. If I do just another outreach, if I pray one more time, if I join this church function, if I mention Christ once in a while on Facebook, it's not going to get you any closer to God. It's not going to make you any more righteous. On my very best day as a Christian, I am a filthy rag in the eyes of a holy God. The only thing I have saving me is what Christ did on the cross. When you understand who God is and how holy He is, there's no comparison. You cannot be good enough to be God. You can try, and you will be tired. It's through righteousness that Christ earned that we've become righteous. Just as sin entered the world through Adam, righteousness has entered the world through Christ. And for all those who trust and put their faith in Him, you are seen as righteous. You are made right with God. He's blotted out your sin, He's blotted out your past, and you are a new creation in Christ. There's rest in that. All right, now we're going to go to Hebrews 4 and read 6 through 10. Have somebody that wants to read? Okay.
Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
Thank you, Sandra. So there are several kinds of rest that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And I think it's all broken out this way. So number one, there's rest for the obedient. Those who are obedient to God, obedient to His ways, you will find rest. There's a different rest that he's talking about, and that's the rest of the promised land given to Israel. At least they thought that was the place of rest. That when they got to the promised land, it was a time of rest. And then there's this future time of rest. He's talking about a time in the future that God has deemed the time of rest. And it is promised. Every one of these is a promised rest that God has given us. And so we are called to be faithful in our journey. We are called to be believers in Christ. We are called to be obedient to Christ. And we are told that there's even a greater rest coming. A greater rest. See, right now we live by faith, we live by hope. But in a time to come, when Christ returns for His church, faith is no longer needed because you will be with Christ for eternity. It's a long journey until that time. Yes, there are all kinds of signs in the world that line up with a lot of the prophecies in Scripture, but we don't know when that's going to be. It could be several generations later. But in the meantime, God's given you this life to live and to live on purpose for Him. And He's given you this rest by trusting in Him, by putting your hope in Him, and by living for Him. And everything God calls us into, He always gives us the strength to do it. He gives us the passion, the desire, and the strength through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to work that hard at ministry. And I say, if you're getting tired from ministry, if you're getting tired from God's work, then it's very possible that you're doing it outside of God. You have to let God lead every part of ministry in your life, or you're doing it in the flesh and not doing it in the Spirit. And when you're doing it in the Spirit with God leading you, there's rest. He does most of the work, which is beautiful. This journey that we're on, it could be a very long journey. You know, I hope to reach a very old age. And I'm not even quite halfway there yet. And so I know I got a long ways of growing, a long ways of seeking God out every day. I've only been a Christian for probably 15 years now. And that's a short period of time, and God has done so much in my life in that short period of time. But what I keep learning over and over and over again is what His Word says is so true. It feeds my soul every time. When I start to put things aside that are bad for me, when I start to pursue Christ in the right ways, my life becomes so much better. One day, Jesus promised us that we're going to enter this complete rest. There's going to be a day where He comes and gathers His elect, is what He calls it, His church, those who have put their faith in Him. And on that glorious day, your life of turmoil is going to be over. It's going to be a life of complete blessing, as promised. Revelation 2:21-4. And this is John writing from Patmos. He said, "Then I saw," this is a vision that John was allowed to see, "a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" That sounds like a glorious day. Let's look at Hebrews 4:11 next, and we're almost done. Somebody like to read that? Okay.
"Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience."
Thank you. So that's both a word of warning and a word of encouragement. Hebrews is meant to encourage the church during a time of persecution, in a time of wavering, a time of uncertainty, a time of uncertainty of where you're going to be the next day, where you're going to get your food, is somebody going to come after me? And so He's saying, stay strong, make every effort to enter that rest. Anybody ever think there's effort in resting? Sometimes there is. Sometimes we have to make an effort to receive the rest. "So that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." This analogy is an analogy of Israel in the Promised Land, by the way. Many people perish in their unbelief trying to get to the Promised Land. Like I said, your days are numbered, but you don't know what that number is. And God has given us plenty of opportunity to get to know Him. He's given us plenty of opportunity to recognize what He did on our behalf. Without Him, that's where we're headed, to perish like those that were in the desert. You can either put your faith in Him or continue to deny Him. But one day it says that every knee will bow to the name Jesus. Rest comes to the work that Christ did on the cross. That's where our rest comes from. When you recognize the importance of that, and that by His blood we have been purchased, we have been ransomed, that the work is finished. And because the work is finished, God ceased His work, and He's offered us rest. He's shown us the way to the promised land. We have Google. We don't have to wander around the desert for 40 years. You can, He'll let you. Or you can pursue His righteousness, His ways, His path. He said, the gate is narrow. The road is wide. Which one are you going to do? Are you going to go through the narrow gate, or are you going to stay on the wide road? We have to learn to be faithful, not just half-heartedly, but full-heartedly, if you want to find this rest. So for Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, do I have another reader? Anybody? Go ahead, Randy.
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
Yes, please.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable.
Thank you, brother. That's a pretty powerful statement. These are some of my favorite verses, by the way. You know, the Word of God, you ever think of it like a sword, that it's that powerful?
Speak it around your house and watch what happens.
Right?
Things leave.
Things leave. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces us when we read it. Anybody ever read the Bible and say, oh man, that's directed right at me?
All the time.
God somehow must have known us when He wrote it, huh? He created us. And so the Word of God is a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon. And He's saying, if you want to stay in this rest, the Bible will prepare you. It will give you that rest. It's the Word of God. It's like getting to know God one-on-one through His Word. And it's not just a story we read. It's actually God's Word. And when God speaks His Word, something takes place. It's powerful. God spoke and the universe was created. Unless you're an atheist, then something appeared out of nothing, which makes absolutely no sense. God spoke and the universe was created. It's His Word. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight is the next part of that. God knows our hearts. Okay, it's not what we confess with our mouth. It's not the works we do. It's not how many times we can sing hallelujah. It's our heart. When you read God's Word, it changes your heart if you receive it as God's Word. And that's what God is after. You want to find this rest, get in His Word. It will help you change your life. It will help you understand what God is doing in your life. It will help you understand how much God loves you. And so by getting in His Word and learning about God, yes, there's going to be some uncomfortable times for you. He's going to show you some things about your life that might need to change. He shows me all the time. And He's saying if we're obedient to what God's Word says, then we will find rest. He doesn't force it upon anybody, by the way. If He did, we'd all be robots, trained to just sing kumbaya all day. But we're not. He gave us free will. You have to make choices in your life. And this is, in my opinion, is one of the biggest choices you can make if you want a life of peace, if you want a life of rest. Get in His Word and let it mold you, let it change you. God knows your heart. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of God. You can't hide from Him. You can try. You can't hide from Him. He loves you too much. He's going to pursue you. He's not out to get you. He's out to love you, and he's offering you a relationship. God's word is what keeps us on track. It's what feeds our soul. For those that are unbelievers in God, his word brings unrest. When you read his word and understand how much we need him, and if you keep denying him, it will bring unrest to your soul. I'm going to close with this. Romans 15:4-6 says this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your patience, Lord. I thank you that no matter how much we rebel, you continue to offer us a way back. You show us the way. You clearly tell us that, look, I want to give you an abundant life. I want to give you a life of rest. But we rebel. We just reject you, Father, and forgive us for that. We take life for granted. We take our situations for granted. And we miss out on the calling you've given us. Father, help us to be uncomfortable at times. Help us to feel you pushing us to be stronger in Christ. Help us to take a stand, Father, not to sit on the fence, but to take a stand for what we believe. Father, when we fall short, help us to understand that yes, you offer us grace and forgiveness. But Father, help us to learn from those things and to grow. We are called to grow in Christ. This journey, this thing called life that you've given us is meant for us to grow in you. Help us to endure as we do that. So Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would lead each person in this room to be a life on fire for you, that you'd provide rest for their souls so they can do your work in this kingdom that you've called us to do. Father, I pray that where people are lacking, that you would just bring a powerful anointing today, that an awakening would occur in our church, in our city, that, Lord, the name Jesus Christ would be declared throughout our streets. That there would be rejoicing of who you are, not rebellion. And, Father, I just pray as we go forward that you provide for every need in this room. Father, you have purchased each person here with the blood of Christ. Each person here belongs to you and you alone. And no weapon formed will come against anybody in this church in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray that as we go out this week, that we would have changed lives, that we'd want to pursue you in all we do. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.